So we've been following this Torah of Reb Nachman, this phenomenal idea about this concept called Chalal HaPanui, that there's a vacant space that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in order to create a limited world, because He is a finite-less. And how can He create a finite world? And there are certain questions about God's existence that their origin is actually from that place of a vacant space, right? Where it seems, kibyachol, it seems from our vantage point that maybe God's not there, or God's not governing there, or that there's a lack of godliness or kedusha in certain things. And it seems like they come from the vacant space. And Rabbi Nachman says you're not allowed to ask questions about those questions, those philosophical questions, because they come from the vacant space. And kibyachol, the conclusion might be that Kadosh Baruch Hu is limited, or not all that great, or not governing, or certain things that might come as a conclusion just because of that kibyachol vacant space. And then we spoke about how there are tzaddikim, their job is to dive into that vacant space and show that it's all just kibyachol, it's all just seemingly so that there's a vacant space, seemingly so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not governing there, seemingly so that lichora HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not finiteless. And their job is to dive into those questions and dismantle them and disprove them and bring life to that vacant space, bring life and vitality to what seems kibyachol like a place that's void of God's presence. And after we said that our job is not to dive into those places, Reb Nachman says that the most important thing is to be silent in those places. To be silent, to say, kibyachol, I can only say as much as I can in the limited words that I have. Kibyachol, to say certain things are beyond my ability to vocalize, to understand. My brain is limited. And therefore, there are certain things that I understand that I'm not going to understand. And there's almost so much that even with all the things that I understand that I can't understand, there's also beyond that more understanding of things that I won't always understand. And that is okay. I don't have to live in a world where I understand everything from A to Z. And that's okay. And sometimes the shtika. And there's a famous story that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Shemaim and he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what are you doing? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm actually putting on crowns on the letters of the olive base. He goes, why? He said, well, in future generation, there's going to be a person named Akiva ben Yosef who is going to, on every crown of the letter, teach so many halachot that I have put up these crowns so we can derive halachos from them. And Moshe Rabbeinu is, needless to say, mesmerized. And he says, wow, can I go meet this Rabbi Akiva? Can I go sit in his shir? And Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, No problem. He takes Moshe Rabbeinu and he puts him into Rabbi Akiva's shir and Rabbi Akiva's teaching. And Moshe Rabbeinu is dumbfounded by the greatness of Rabbi Akiva. And Moshe Rabbeinu can barely understand the depth of the Torah that Rabbi Akiva is teaching. And Moshe Rabbeinu is blown away. And then he sees how Rabbi Akiva is, chas v'shalom, at the end of his life, he is actually killed on Kiddush Hashem, and his skin is being raked and combed with metal combs, and he's suffering so much. And Moshe Rabbeinu can't understand. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zot Torah v'zot schara. This is the Torah that you gave, and that is its reward. Rabbi Akiva, who spent his life teaching Torah and did everything, he's going to pass away like that. He's going to be killed in such a horrific way. And Moshe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu is shtok. Kach ala b'machshava tchila. Be silent. This is what came first in thought. And you know what? We all think maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yo, shut up. Don't ask questions on why I run this world this way. But that's not what shtok means. That might be what shtok means in modern day Hebrew. Shtok, Chazal say, yes, dvarim shashtika yafalem. There are certain things that their beauty is shtika. Certain things that are their beauty is the fact that there aren't words to explain. Right, sometimes somebody says to his wife, I love you so much, the word love is just not enough. Right, I feel like there's so much more, and what I really feel I can never express in words. It's beautiful. If a person can explain in a mathematical equation why he chose this girl to marry, why he chose to marry this girl, there's something missing. There's something beautiful about the fact there are no words. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, shtok. Kach ala b'machshava tchila. This is how it came up in thought. That means I didn't think about it this way. It was deeper than thought, a calculation, a thought that's top down. I'm thinking about it. I'm going to decide how to do it. That's top down within my brain. Allah b'machshava tchila. That came up in prior to thought. This is something that is bottom up. This just came as an elevation. It was almost like Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that's how I felt intuitively. I can't explain it to you. Shtok. There, if you're going to ask a question, you're just going to get a partial answer, right? Better to have a good question than have a weak answer. Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying, shtok. This is how it came up in thought. Rabbeinu was teaching us there's certain things that we're just not going to talk about. Not because we can't understand only, but because that's their beauty. The beauty is Tole Eretz al Belima. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he hangs the world on Belima, on nothingness. There's really the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You go out to space and you look at the whole world that seems to us so physical and makes so much sense. It's just in space, floating. We can't, it's just standing in mid-air. Kach alav b'machshavat chila. Shtok. Kach alav b'machshavat chila. But Rabbeinu is telling us something deep. This is not the only answer we have for Chalal HaPanim. Not the only answer for questions that have no answer is to be silent. There's also another avenue to deal with questions that have no answer. And that avenue is going to be a nigun. That avenue is going to be a song. That avenue is going to be a melody. See, because melodies are empathetical to words. Words, if I'm speaking and you're speaking, it takes away. But a nigun, we can all sing together. We can all join in. There's something beautiful about a nigun that doesn't minimize. It doesn't contract from people. It actually brings forward. And Rabbeinu is saying there's certain things that there's no conversation about. But there is a melody. There is a tune. There is something that can bring solace to my neshama. And there are no words. Something so amazing. Rabbeinu said there's two ways, you know, my Rebbe Refruman said there were two answers post-Holocaust. One is people didn't speak. People didn't talk. They don't want to talk about it. There was no answers. There were no questions. Don't talk about it. Don't ask about it. And there was another answer, he said, Rabbi Shlomo Karbach wrote nigunim. And sometimes, you know what, you're standing in Auschwitz and Birkenau, and all you're going to do is sing a nigun, ani mamin, sing nigun Krakow. All there is to do is sing a nigun. There are no words. There's nothing that can actually suffice to what you're feeling. But in the depth of utmost depths, there's a nigun. There's a nigun which is beyond words. Sometimes I can't speak because there are no words, and sometimes I sing a nigun because it's beyond no words. And that's what, when Aaron HaKohen experienced his brother's death, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron was silent. And yet, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, L'man yizamercha kavoid v'lo yidom. I will sing to you and praise you and I won't be silent. Sometimes, silence is the melody. And sometimes, a nigun is the melody. Shabbi Zoichah.